So we are in our Come Let Us Adore Him series as we're enjoying the Christmas season. Just to recap, so the first week we talked about lifting our hands. We talked about why do Christians lift their hands during worship? Why is that something that we offer? And we talked about, you know, there's a certain types of lifting your hands, like there's the TV, and there's the big screen, you know, and then there's the high five Jesus, you know, that kind of stuff, block the shot to Jesus, you know, that kind of praising that we do. And it's really, it's a double meaning. It's a surrender, saying that we need you, God, but it's also saying it's a victory. That because we worship him, because we're in relationship with him, we have victory because of what he's done for us. And we talked about Moses and how Moses, when he'd raise his hand, the armies were winning, and when he would drop his hands, they were losing. So just to make it plain and simple, guys, winning, losing, all right? When you want God on your side, winning, losing, okay. That's what we talked the first week, and the second week we talked about bringing gifts as an act of worship, and Hannah did an amazing job in talking about that. And it really matters. It really matters. And we talked about the wise men and how the wise men, they didn't come to see Jesus to say, all right, baby, little 6-pound, 8-ounce baby, what can you give me? You know, what you got for me? No, no. What they did is they brought gifts from a far-off land to show their appreciation to God. And so when we bring our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, when we bring our physical gifts to the storehouse, to the church, it is out of worship. It's to say, God, we trust you, and we believe in what you're doing, and we believe in what Village Heights is doing, whatever church that you're going to, whatever ministry that you support, we believe what God is doing, so we bring our gifts. And Hannah did an awesome job with that, because we learned that love gives. So if you love, you give. So we're talking about the traditional postures of worship and how we worship. And so, and when we're doing this, we're focusing on Jesus, him being born. And I feel like what this is doing, and it's doing it for me, it's really making your worship more deep and meaningful and purposeful. It's not just out of actions. There's a purpose to how we worship and why that we do it. It will connect your soul in new intimate ways with God. Let's get into scripture. Psalm 62, 5 through 7 says, "For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God." So the previous postures of worship that we talked about are obvious. Raising your hands, bringing your gifts, are very physical, tangible things. That's not the only way that we worship. And today we're going to talk about an important one. It's a little bit of a difficult one to understand. So I'm going to do some serious explaining here. So keep up with me, okay? We're going through some scripture. And because it's not an obvious one. Because it's not something that really happens on the outside. It starts on the inside and something comes out from it. So today we're going to be talking about pouring out your heart and what that truly means and what that truly looks like. And I feel like if you really hone in on this, you can truly grasp what worship is. You can really grasp how that feels. So it's not just in your mind. This is something that comes from the depths of your soul that really transcends your moment, your mood, where you're at in life, whatever culture that you're in. Pouring your heart out transcends all of those things. And it's real and it's intimate. So if you're blessed, if you're thankful, if you're in an area in your life right now where things are just going great, you just got that raise, you just got that new job, you got that new car, things are going awesome, you got that house that you wanted, you finally got that girl to go out with you, you know, after you bugging her for a year. You know, some of you guys, you know what I'm talking about. So you're winning, right? It's happening. You, in those moments, you thank God. You pour your heart out thanking him, saying, "This is amazing, God. This is amazing," right? And then some of you are kind of in a moment where you're just existing, right? You're just here. You know, and sometimes we feel that way, that nothing really special is going on. You know, I'm just going from day-to-day kind of things, and you're kind of in that place right now where, like, nothing, like, I want something special to happen, but I just got nothing going on right now. Even in those moments, you find yourself in that group, you pour your heart out. you pour your heart out to God. And then the next group that we're going to talk about, this message is really more beneficial for this next group. And it might sound funny. It might be not be logical to you because it's easy to pour your heart out when things are going great. It's easy to be emotional about it and easy to put yourself out there and be vulnerable. It's like, because life is awesome. But sometimes life is not awesome. And sometimes when we hit this holiday season, it reminds you of things of the past. Or it further shows, you know, the moments that you're in your life right now that are not happy. So you might be feel like you don't have anybody in your life to spend time with. Or you might have lost someone in the past. So you feel despair, you feel lonely, scared, confused. You might be in money issues. This is especially when it's important to pour your heart out. To pour it out. And we're about to jump into some scripture, and we're really going to find out, look at what does this mean to truly pour your heart out in worship. So we're going to look at a couple of scriptures about David. And now we're going to single out David most of this message because David, as scripture says, was a man after God's heart. A man after God's own heart. So how did he achieve this? How did he do this? So in Psalm 142:2, it says, I pour out my complaint before him. I tell it my trouble before him. This is David himself, the psalmist, talking to God, writing it, talking to God. Now, he didn't come to him and say, God, I got these awesome things happening that I want to pour my heart about. No, my complaint. Something bad is going on, and he's complaining to God. So it's not always about good news. In Psalm 142:5, it says, I cry to you, Lord. So when you cry, you know, sometimes there's a good cry. Most of the time, it's bad cries, right? And so when you're crying, you're whining, right? You feel like, I'm having to get this out. I just can't hold it in. David's feeling that right now. It says, I cry to you, O Lord. I say you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Now, he called God something right there. He said, my refuge. That's very important. Don't forget that as we move on in the message. He called him a special unique identity, refuge. And then Psalm 62:8, it says, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. And Selah, it means rest. It means like, isn't that amazing? Like, isn't like a sigh of relief? He comes to God complaining about what's going on in his life. He's at a low point. He's in that third group where things aren't just not working out. Everything is negative. He comes to him, complains, and then identifies God as his refuge, and then says, guys, because he is our refuge, rest. Isn't that amazing? We can find solace in that. He repeated it over and over again. Pour out your heart. God is refuge. And some research on the word refuge, right? And what it meant in that time, in that scripture. And at this time, there were 6 Levitical cities that were a place of refuge. And it's not the kind of refuge that you're necessarily thinking. So, and this is weird, I know. In this time, there were 6 cities, 6 towns, whatever you want to call it, 6 places that you could go, yes, if you needed safety, if you felt like you were in danger, but if you killed somebody, you could go hide there, right? If you committed some major crime or did something against people, you could go hide there. So it was kind of like a double thing where if you just needed to get away and hide, that's where you go. And so when he references refuge, it really gives it a depth and meaning that whether your life is going great or your life is in a bad place, refuge can be found. Refuge is there. And hopefully, none of you end up in that place where you accidentally kill somebody and you got to find refuge. So I advise against it, guys. But when you're a kid, we always had those safe places that we looked for as a child. Because when you're a kid, your imagination runs wild, right? You know, there's monsters in the closet or under your bed or on the roof or in the attic. Or there's, you know, you have these fears as a child. And I don't know about some of you, you know, you had that safe place. Some of you, it might have been in the closet. Some maybe not, because that's where the monster was. Some of you hid under the bed because that was your safe place. But then again, some of you, that was where the monster was. You didn't hide there. Some of you, it was, you know, in these weird different places. Maybe a pillow fort. Maybe a blanket fort. For me, it was like, I don't know what is mystical about comforters on your bed, but like if I was totally wrapped and tucked under my ankles, I was safe. As long as I was like that, I was safe from whatever was in the closet or under the bed. It couldn't get to me because the seal was locked, right? Couldn't get to me. I mean, the irony was my head was out, you know. I guess sometimes if I was real scared, I would tuck it behind my head, and I would just be like this, and they can't get me. You know, so you have these places of refuge that you look for. It's instinctive in us that when something is bad and going on, and as in the child, we look for refuge. So in school, when I was growing up in school, especially in high school, and if you know the Houston area, I grew up in the Spring area, and I went to Westfield High School. And if you're familiar with that, it's not the friendliest of places. There was a lot of, you know, gangs and stuff like that growing up in high school. So, and of course, I'm a lover, not a fighter. You know, I wanted people to like me. I wanted to get along. I didn't want to go around fighting people. And so how I dealt with that, and this is something about refuge, is that sometimes you can find refuge in people, right? And I was a smart kid. I had it figured out. What I did is I befriended people in each gang, okay? I'm serious, I did this. I found like one of the toughest guys. I started hanging out with them, and I made them laugh. Laughing is the key to anything, guys. Laughing is the key to anybody's heart. That's how you get in. You make them laugh, you got them, okay? You're in. So what I did is I would hang out with them. I would make them laugh. Now, of course, I wouldn't embellish any of their extracurricular activities that they would do after school or during school. I wouldn't embark in those things, but I would befriend them. So when I was walking down the wrong hallway and I didn't know it, I always knew somebody, okay? Because I found refuge in those people. And if somebody else was trying to mess with me, I had this friend who had some representation, right? And then they were tough, okay? So nobody messed with me. It worked out great, guys. If you ever find yourself in one of those places, that's what you got to do, you know? So, word to the wise. So you can find refuge in people. When we were just married, we have a little dog. He's still alive and kicking, about 11 years old. And his name is Davis, cute little Jack Russell. And just like with any dog, he hates thunderstorms. Right? And Hannah and I have this theory that he thinks there's this thunder dog out there that's going to get him. You know, he's out there. And so when the rain starts coming, you can see him start shivering a little bit, you know. And then when the thunder finally hits, lightning and thunder hits, he always wants to be right under my feet, right? If you have a dog, you know what I'm talking about, right? And so they want to be right under my feet because he finds refuge in me. He thinks that I'm going to protect him from whatever this thunder dog is, you know, this being that is lurking outside trying to get him. You know, and some owners, they know that they have these jackets. There's thunder jackets that you can put on dogs. You know that? It's intuitive. I wish I had one of those. But is refuge you can find in someone that is supposed to be your authority. And now that we have kids, it's kind of the same thing. They also get scared of thunderstorms sometimes. When they hear that loud boom, what do kids do when they hear something or see something that scares them? They run to their parent. So my kids, when something happens, they come running to me. When something scares them, even if I'm the one that scared them, sometimes I like to pop out and scare the kids. There was one time we were walking in the hallway of our apartment, and they're coming down this hall. I went around the other side and jumped out and grabbed Gage. And Hannah didn't recognize me, and so it scared her to death that random guy was jumping out grabbing a kid, but of course it scared the kid, you know. And it's even though I scared him, it was me that scared him, he turned around and wanted to grab me. There's something about who's an authority over you. There is refuge there. And it's, of course, as a parent, we love that. As a parent, you love it when your kids find refuge in you. So whatever your safety was, having that perfect seal of a blanket or having that person or your refuge is in your parents, we need refuge from time to time because life gets scary. Life can get out of hand. And this is a very important thing when it comes to pouring out your heart. Because when you pour out your heart, you're vulnerable. It can feel scary. It can feel like you don't have it all together, like you're losing control. So we need refuge when we pour out our heart. And we find that in God. And God loves it. God is a very real refuge for us. Very real refuge. And he wants to be that for us. God loves it when things aren't going, not that he loves it when things are going wrong, but he loves it that when, even though circumstances are going bad, that we come to him. And we hand it over. We pour our hearts out and we find refuge in him, just like a parent to a child. Like when I see my kids around the corner, so that I will embrace them and protect them. God is the exact same way. He loves it when we round the corner and we're looking for him for protection, for refuge. And God can handle it. Sometimes we feel like we can't give God our problems, like we're being disrespectful to God or something like that. That's what we bring him. No, he knows your life inside out. He knows everything about you. He knows your problems. He can handle your whining, okay? He can handle your crying. He can handle the bad things that are going on in your life. Because if we feel like God can't handle it, we're discrediting what Jesus did on the cross for us, the power of what he did for us. So God can handle it. He wants to. He loves to give us refuge. So as you pour out your heart, and we're going to try this at the end of service. If you've never done this before, we're going to give you the opportunity to pour out your heart. And so there's a couple of things, important things you need to remember when it comes to pouring out your heart and how we do this and what we need to know. We're going to look back to David in Scripture. The first thing, if you're taking notes, the first thing I want you to write, remember God's faithfulness in the past. Remember God's faithfulness in your past. That's a very important feature when it comes to pouring out your heart. And remember, when it comes to David, he was a man after God's own heart. So who better to look to about pouring out our hearts? So scholars are not sure when this psalm or who wrote it. They believe it was David, and probably in the time when Absalom, his son, was being defiant to him because he was doing it very publicly. So this was a very low moment for David. This is a very low moment in his time because of the disobedience of his son, people were coming to him saying, God has forgotten about you. God's mad at you, David, because things aren't going right. Have you ever been in that spot before where you feel like God has forgotten about you because things aren't going right in your life? Let's see what David did about it. So, and he's feeling rejection in this moment. It says in Psalm 42, 3 through 5, we're going to work through this one. He begins and says, my tears have been my food day and night. You ever been in that spot where your life is just going so wrong that you feel like you're just eating tears? You know, you're just drinking your own tears. That's how you're getting your sustenance. While they say to me all day long, where is your God? If you've been a Christian for any amount of time, if you ended up around people who are not Christian, who do not understand your faith, and things are going wrong, have they ever said to you, well, where's your God then? If your life isn't perfect, where is your God? That is a low place to be in. That's a tough spot to be in. That's where David is right now. And then he goes on saying, these things I remember. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, or pour out his heart. This is the main point of it all that we're getting up to. And he says, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise. Now he's talking about songs and praise? A multitude keeping festival. Wait a minute. He was just talking about how, like, he's lonely and people are rejecting him. And people are saying, where is your God? And he's eating his own tears. Now he's talking about praise? Is he bipolar? Is there something wrong with it? You know, is he not seeing right? He continues on. And this is where he begins to preach to himself. He begins to talk to himself. And he says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil with me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation. things I remember. There's things I remember. So I pour out my soul in this moment of danger, in this moment of feeling rejected and alone. It's a very important process to this. In Jeremiah, in Lamentations 3, Jeremiah in Lamentations, he's talking, and he's a man that has seen affliction, right? If you want to meet someone that's had a bad month, you want to read about someone, read about Jeremiah. Jeremiah had a rough go at it, okay? He was eating a lot of tears, all right? He was a lot in that moment where it's just loneliness and anguish and pain and complaints. This guy had a really bad month. And so if you have ever cried out, why are things happening this way? Why am I not getting that job that I want? Why can't I just seem to get in front of my finances? Why can't I just seem not make enough money? Why aren't my relationships working out the way that I want them to work out? Why aren't they caring about the things that I want them to care about? There's all these low moments. And if you've ever asked any of these questions, listen to this. In Lamentations 3:19 through 23, it says, "Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers, it and has bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." So Jeremiah cried out, saying, "I have all of these problems. I got all of these complaints. I am justified in being angry and being sad and eating my tears and crying over it. But, Jeremiah cried out and he remembered. He remembered the faithfulness of his God and how he loved him. And so because of that, there is a new every morning and great is his faithfulness. So have you ever been in a moment where you cried out to God? If you've been a Christian for a while, you Christ follower, you know that there's been those moments in your life where like, "I've just had it, God. I'm crying out." And you said a prayer, and your prayer was answered. Or you listened to a song on the radio that you haven't listened to in a while, and it just kind of all brought it back to you and got you to pour out your heart. Something was provided for you. You read a verse in Scripture that you've read 1,000 times, but this time, for some reason, it just really spoke to you. It really addressed the moment that you're in. Or if you went to church and you heard a message or a podcast, and this podcast, man, it was like it was just spoken just for you. This message was spoken just for you. It's like, forget everybody else in the room. The preacher in this whatever auditorium you're in, everybody can leave because this one's just for me. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like you've had that moment? So when I was when we were starting the church, and just cleaning, guys, starting a church is not easy. Okay, it's a task. It takes effort. It takes a lot of trial and error, a lot of pain and anguish. And so in the very early stages, before this is probably like 6 to 7 months before we actually launched. Okay, I had a full-time job because we were helping other churches plant. I had a full-time job, and it was a sales job in real estate. And if you know what I'm talking about, I've been in real estate. It's more like a 60-hour job when you're working 40 hours. You know, it's a lot of stress, a lot of pushing sales. And so I would have that full-time job while trying to start a church in the Heights, and I lived in the Spring area. Right, and so a part of the efforts, you got to market, you got to do all that stuff, and so we decided we're going to shoot a video. And I hired a friend of mine, paid him, you know, and all this stuff to come out, and he shot us a video over by the bayou, and it was really cool, really great, and we had the whole team come out and say a part in it. And it was kind of cold that day, and we were, you know, trying to push through it, and we thought we had something, right? And then a couple days later, I'm at work, and he's like, "Hey, I got the finished product, let me send it to you." I'm watching it, and I'm like, "This is terrible. This video is awful. I can't send this out." And it had nothing to do with the video guy. He did great. The image looked awesome. It was the actors. The actors were terrible. They weren't saying it clearly. You know, they were shaking. Like, they seemed miserable. I'm like, we can't send this out. You know, and we don't have the time to go reshoot it or have more money. And I just got so frustrated. I remember sitting at my desk and I'm just like, God, why? Why couldn't you work this out? Why couldn't you make this happen? Because we don't have a lot of money to begin with, but starting a church. Now we've wasted that money and I'm just so angry. And so throughout the whole day, I'm just fuming. And then on my way home, my drive on the way home, because the traffic was like 40, 45 minutes. On the way home, I met my breaking point. Literally for 40 minutes, I cried, I whined, I yelled, I argued with God. And I was like, how do you expect me to start a church, God, if I have to work a full-time job and I can't even shoot a video right, if I can't make this happen? I can't do both. I'm like, Lord, I have a family to support. I'm too afraid to quit because I have a family to support. I got to have pay the mortgage. I got to pay the bills. I'm too afraid to quit. So God, if you want me to quit this job, if you want me to leave this job so I can start this church, you either need to appear before me and say it audibly to me. Make it say it in the clouds in the sky. Do something miraculous. You got to do something or you got to get me fired. You got to make it happen, okay? Be careful what you ask for, all right? That was a Thursday. Friday morning, I come to work, right? And our company had just sold to a larger company, right? And they're like, oh, everything's going to be great. Everything's going to keep their jobs and it's going to be awesome, you know? And so I had no idea this was coming. That morning, I was called into my boss's office. And there was a guy from HR that I had never met before sitting there. I'm like, oh, hey, how you doing? You know, I'm like, oh, you work in HR. How was that? That's great. You know, and we're talking, and my boss goes, he said, you know, has something to talk to you about. And he's like, look, you know, we've been bought out. And so because of that, we're going to have to restructure. And we're going to have to do some layoffs. And I'm sorry, your department is the one that's going to be laid off. And I'm just like, okay. And the guy goes, look, so this was in April. The church was set to launch in October, okay? And he said, this is what we can do for you, right? Your last day will be August 31st. We'll give you a severance, and we'll send you on your way. So in my head, I'm working at the math, and I'm like, wait a minute. So right before I start this church, I need to put my full time into it. I get to leave my job, and they're going to pay me for another couple of months. It's funny because I'm like smiling during this, you know, because I'm like, in my head, I'm like, God, you did it. You literally answered my prayer to make this happen. And the HR guy's kind of looking at me funny. My boss is kind of looking at me funny. And they're like, is this guy about to lose it on us? You know, is he going to go on a rampage after? You know, so they're like, and the guy's like, you understand what I'm saying? I'm like, no, I totally understand. No, I get you. And the boss is kind of looking at me, and the boss, like, he was a believer, and he is a believer, and he knew I was a believer, the guy was done, and he told me what was going to happen. I'm like, great, awesome, thanks, man. I shook his hand, and I left. I cannot imagine the conversation that went on after I left that office, you know. And so later on the day, I went back to my boss, who knew I was a minister, and I shared what happened. I was like, last night, I told God, he's got to either tell me to fire or get me fired. And he's like, you know, I told him to plant a church, start, and he's like, that's amazing. He said, it's no doubt that that was God, that this whole worked out in that moment. I can't help to think it's because I poured my heart out. I had a problem. I had an issue in my life. Things weren't going my way. And I literally bared my soul to God. I poured my heart out and he answered me. Some of you are in that place right now. You might be in that point where things are just not going your way. Life is not working out the way that you want it. Your relationships are not in the way that you would want them to be. Your finances are not in the way that you would want them to be. Your job is not the way that you would want to be. And you are just a moment away if you just pour out your heart. Let God in. Let him be your refuge. And you're a morning away from everything everything changing. And I know you're thinking, like, oh, that was the worst thing that Village Heights had to deal with. No, it's a constant thing that you have to pour your heart out. That was just a moment. And when you're starting something new and you're blazing a trail, you're going to get scratched. You're going to fall down. You're going to hurt yourself. There's going to be roadblocks. There's going to be steep cliffs to climb. There's going to be places and places that you had to go that you've never done before. It's going to be difficult. But just to sum it up, when we needed money, we cried out. God gave us $50,000. No need to pay it back. Not a loan. Gave us $50,000 from an anonymous donor. When we needed a place, because in the Heights, there's not many places to meet, a school opened up for us, which at the time, we were the second church in all of HISD that got the opportunity to be in an HISD school. When we needed, we cried out. When we needed a more affordable place that was more conducive to the experience that we want, God gave us the Heights. He delivered that to us. He gave us the Hits Theater. When we needed the right people to make this vision happen, God delivered the right people, and He's still doing it. If you are a part of Village Heights in any way, you volunteer, you are the right people because we prayed for you. We cried out for you. Like, if we're going to make this happen, if we're going to build your church in the Heights, we need the right people. And He is sending them every day. And some of you, this is your first day. I'm telling you, you're the right people. Okay? You are the right people, and we want you a part of this family. When we needed resources for action groups, and action groups is where we take on a nonprofit and we ask them, sky's limit. What do you need in your nonprofit? How can we partner with you to boost what you're doing and whatever efforts that you have? We cried out to God because we didn't have the resources or the money to make this happen for Him. And when we cried out, we poured our hearts out, God delivered. Finances, resources, people came out of the woodwork to make them happen. It's a constant thing in worship to pour out your heart and find God as your refuge. So in our current struggles, we pour out our hearts and remember what He has done in our past. And this strengthens us to have the faith and gives us the confidence in the future that we have with God. So the second thing that I want you guys to remember, to write this down, is trusting God's power for your future. Trust in God's power for your future. And the psalmist in Psalm 102, this is a long psalm. I'm not going to read all of it. I'm going to kind of dance around in it a little bit. But it is mental, physical, social, spiritual anguish, crisis going on. Very low point for the psalmist. And this is what it says. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let me cry. Let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the days of my distress. You ever feel like, God, are you listening? Don't let this prayer just go into the wind. Hear my prayer, God. Incline your ear to me. Answer me speedily in the day when I call. You ever want God to move in that moment? You know those moments like, God, I need money now. I don't think you understand. I need money now, God. I need something to happen now. Moving on to verse 5. Because of my loud groaning, my bones cling to my flesh. Chapter 7. I lie awake. You ever lose sleep because of a problem that you're having? You ever lose sleep of something going on in your life? I am like a lonely sparrow on the housetop. 8 and 9. All the day, my enemies taunt me. You ever been taunted? Those who deride me to use my face for a curse. For I eat ashes like bread and mingle tears with my drink. He's drinking them tears again. Have you ever been in those places? You feel like the world's against you. You feel like it's I need God now. I need these enemies to stop taunting me. I need these people to stop coming at me. This next thing that happens, these three words that he says, is the game changer. Verse 12, he said, but you, O Lord, but you, O Lord, are enthroned forever. You are remembered throughout all generations. Then verse 17, He regards the prayer of the destitute and does not despise their prayer. God, regardless of my circumstances, all this junk that's going on in my life right now, but you, God, but you, O Lord, you are the one that can turn it all right. And you hear my prayers. You hear the prayers of the destitute and the desperate. You hear them. They're not ignored. So when you cry out and you pour your heart out, God hears every syllable of every word, every emotion that you have in that moment. He does not ignore it. He hears it. He knows that you're saying now. You embrace that pain. You embrace that struggle. You're willing to be vulnerable, and you pour out your heart, and you remember to trust him with your future. You have to push through the pain to a place of praise. So a lot of people, when they read what David said or Jeremiah, they'll read the first part and be like, man, I'm there, and they just want to stay in the hole. No, no, they didn't stay there. They recognized it. They got it out of their system. They poured it out, and then they pushed through the pain to a place of praise. And they thank God that regardless of their situations, that he is there. Because, but you, God, things can be better. Even though they're confused and scared, and sometimes you're confused and scared and mad, you got to push through the pain. So at some point, you stop pleading and you start praising. Some of you are in the pleading stage right now. You're like in the, I'm just keep throwing my problems at God, but I'm not going to thank him. I'm not going to praise him. You have to. It's key to this moment of worship. You have to start praising him to unlock that, to make that happen. Despite all of this, you are still God. So Hannah is a great gift giver, right? It's not one of my talents, but Hannah is an amazing gift giver. And if you're one of those people, I'm thankful for you. But it's intimidating for those who are not good gift givers, okay? Because it's feel like, oh, I got to match up, you know? But it's amazing. So my wife, throughout dating and throughout, she always is really good at giving me gifts. And so I got to a point where I got enough great gifts from her that even before I open a gift that she hands me, I get excited because I know it's going to be good, right? I know her reputation. I know her character. I know how much she loves me and loves others. So I always know. I don't even have to know what's in the box yet. I already know I'm going to love it, right? It's an amazing feeling to have that trust. When you start to pour your heart out to God and find his refuge, and he answers your call, and you start doing that over and over again, before your problem is even solved, you already know that God's going to work it out, that he has that gift for you. Before you even open up how the solution is going to happen, you know it's what God wanted for you, and you know that it's going to work out. That's what pushing through the pain and praising is. Because you're remembering the past and you're trusting God with your future when you pour your heart out. After doing it a few times, you come to remember that. And you know that he is faithful. And you know that he loves you always and greatly. And he wants to be your refuge. And the outcome might be not what you think it to be. It's always funny. I always tried, like in my head, I'm like, if I can think it up, there's got to be a better way. So it's like, I try to think of as many scenarios as possible, you know, like winning the lotto, you know, that kind of stuff. And I'm like, all right, God, it's your court now. You know, I've already thought of these ways. You got to do something better, okay? So it might not always happen the way that you think it is, but it's always going to be the best for you. Because God doesn't always just give you what you want. He gives you what's best for you in that moment. So if you're crying about your finances, maybe God's wanting you to be better with your finances before he can trust you with more. Ooh, that hurt, right? That hurt a little. If you want your relationships to better, if you want to find that someone, that soulmate, or whoever it may be, that best friend for the rest of your life, maybe God's wanting you to respect the opposite sex more, or respect yourself and make yourself worthy to hand over to somebody else. Say, I'm going to spend the rest of my life with you. There's always this scenario. There's always something that God's trying to work out that's the best scenario for you. And so we're able to trust him. So some of you, you're lost, you've lost someone, you feel rejected, you're unemployed, you have financial stress, you have medical issues, you don't understand, you're afraid, you're confused, pour out your heart. God can handle it. Just like I said before, we get to say, but oh you, Lord, because there is no problem in your life that's too big for God. There is no situation that's too difficult for God to handle. And he's waiting for you to round that corner like a child and say, God, I need you. I need you to be my refuge. David wasn't a perfect man. He was known as a guy after God's own heart. He was not a perfect man at all. If you remember correctly, he used his power to sleep with a woman that was not his wife, that was somebody else's. He used his power, and there's other things that he had people killed and all sorts of stuff. And he was still a man after God's own heart? How is that possible? It's possible because he poured his heart out always. No matter his circumstance, whether it was a good circumstance or a bad circumstance, he poured out his heart, and God loved it. God knows that you're not perfect. He knows that you're going to mess up. He knows you're going to cheat at some time. He knows that you're not going to give money when you should. He knows that you're going to be selfish at moments. He knows that you're going to say something mean to your spouse or your family. He knows you're going to do all that. He still wants you to pour out your heart to him because he still wants you to find refuge in him. Otherwise, we're left to find refuge for ourselves, and our refuge is never adequate. Only his is the perfect. So God is faithful with our past. He's good in our present, and you can find trust in him for your future. So as the worship team comes up, I'm going to give you guys an opportunity, right? Some of you, this might be the first time that you've done this, okay? And I'm happy to welcome you to the fold of the criers and the whiners to let it out. But I want you to let it out, all right? Now, don't scream at anybody or anything like that. No, this is between you and God, okay? But I want you to pour your heart out in this moment. Whatever you're dealing in with your life, whether you think it's too big or too small to talk to God about, he already knows about it. Pour out your heart to him. Let it rip, guys. I'm giving you full carte blanche. Just let it go. Let it happen. But then, as soon as you get it all out, say, but God, I thank you that you love me. And I thank you for what you've done for me in my past. And I look forward to what you're going to do in my future. How this is all going to work out and how you have a better plan for me. And I'm going to praise you now in that moment. So guys, I know this is a challenge. I know this might be difficult, but do it. Try it. And so this is my action step for you guys for this week. All right. If life is great, pour out your heart. If life is blah, pour out your heart. If life is crappy, pour out your heart, especially. Find a time this week. If it's once, if it's twice, I recommend do it every day. If you're the best when you wake up, or if you're the best before you put your head down to sleep, or if you're at your best at lunch, pick the time that's best for you. Go in the car if you need to. You can do like me and yell at God for 30 minutes on your commute. You know, whatever it may be, find a time to do it. And it might feel silly. It might. Probably will. They'll think that you're just yelling rap lyrics or something and as they see you drive by in your car. You know, that's fine. It's okay to look a little silly because the reward is worth it. Because after you get it all out, say, but God, and give it all to him. Pour your heart out and watch. Watch your circumstances change in ways that you never would have imagined. Watch it happen. I guarantee it, it will. So I'm going to pray and they're going to get started. And then I'm going to come back up right at the end. Lord, thank you so much, God. I pray at this time of worship that we forget who's around us or where we're at and we just focus on you. Lord, whatever the issue is in our life, whatever it may be, during this song, I pray that we can just pour it out. Pour out our hearts and then praise you through the pain and trust you with our future. Lord, bless this time of worship. We pray. Amen.